Turn with me, please, to the book of James. James chapter 5. I'd like to read verses 7 through 12. James 5, 7 through 12. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth, or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into judgment. This chapter, chapter 5, is talking about sharing. And we looked last Sunday at the sharing of possessions. Next Sunday we'll be looking at the sharing of prayer, but today, sharing in patience. I know you've heard of the man who prayed, Lord, I want patience, and I want it right now. Well, that's what many of us are doing in our patience. We don't want everything right now. We want the instant potatoes and the instant coffee and the instant everything, and we don't want to spend the time to go through the process. Well, James is telling us to be long-suffering, and I'm going to say long-suffering every place where you see patience until I get down to Job, because that's a different word. And I want to differentiate between the long-suffering and the patience in this passage. What is long-suffering? Well, Webster says this, it's bearing or enduring pain or trouble without complaining or losing self-control. Again, bearing or enduring pain or trouble without complaining or losing self-control. He also says, refusing to be provoked or angered by an insult, forbearing. The word he uses here is the word, as I said, long-suffering. It's the word which has made up of two words, macro, you know what a macro is, the large, and thymos, which means to be angry. So be long-angered instead of short-angered or short-tempered. Be long-tempered. That's what he's saying. So it shows restraint. It shows calmness and refrains from outbursts of anger. Long-suffering, of course, is not the absence of anger. God never says we can't be angry. Paul says in Ephesians 5:26, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So you can be angry, but don't sin in your anger. He starts off here with the word therefore. When you see a therefore, stop and see what it's there for. Well, therefore looks back. Looks back at last week. And the position that most of these people found themselves in was one of hopelessness. The rich people had cheated them, they'd beaten them, and in some cases murdered some. And so he says, therefore, in the case of this, you're standing there, you have nothing to do, you can't do anything about what your situation is, therefore, be patient, be long-suffering. Now, what is the essence of suffering? Well, the essence of suffering is found in the admonition, verse 7. He says, therefore, be long-suffering, brethren. He uses brethren twice in this passage. See? So he's talking to brethren. He's not saying, people out there, right here, all of us, be long-suffering. The areas of long-suffering are two, I think. One is, be long-suffering with difficult people, and be long-suffering with difficult problems. Difficult people. As a pastor, you find difficult people all around. And some people are more difficult than others, just like some people are more equal than others. Well, this is there are some, and I get one on the phone every once in a while. No, every day, she calls. Oh, what about this? I don't understand this. Will you please? And she wants somebody to talk to. She wants somebody to pay attention to her, is what it is. I was writing this sermon out longhand before I put it on the typewriter, on the computer. And I was writing, be long-suffering with difficult people. And I hadn't gotten through the word people when the phone rang. And guess who it was? It was that lady. She might have talked to me. And I told her, because I tell her, you are driving me crazy. And she said, I won't call you anymore today. And then she calls the next 5 minutes. But difficult people. You have to have patience. Now, this lady, and she's going to come here sometimes. I told her I'd rather her go somewhere else. But all due respect. But she's going to come. And when she comes, she's been here before. She's been in the Sunday school class. And she's different. And she said, well, I'm going to sit over to the side. I said, fine, you do that. But I said to her, when you come, just be quiet, be calm. But we need to be long-suffering with that kind of person. Since I've known her for a year and a half now, maybe, I've given her notes and I've given loaner tapes and all that. And she studies the Bible. She studies the Bible more than I do. I mean, she's in the Bible probably 10, 15 hours a day. I know she is. I mean, she brings me pads of stuff that she writes, and I look it over and give it back to her, and she has come 1,000% over what she was. It isn't easy, but the Lord said, and I think he told me to be long-suffering with that difficult person. Think about your difficult person. Do you have one? Do you have a difficult person? A boss? An employee? Don't look around. No, not your wife. Your wife doesn't count. That don't work. But think about your difficult person, a neighbor maybe, I don't know. But think about that and say to yourself, listen, the Lord wants me to be long-suffering toward that person. He wants me to help that person. Well, enemies, friends, even well-intentioned friends sometimes need bring up the need for long suffering in us. Sometimes they persecute you in a mean fashion, you know. And sometimes they just get on your nerves. In all this, of course, you have rights too. You know, you have certain things, certain rights and responsibilities you have to maintain yourself. But be long suffering is what James is telling us. We need to exercise long suffering. The love chapter, you know what it is? 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, says in verse 4, love suffers long. Same word. Love is long-suffering and is kind. Well, sometimes they can't help what they do. And sometimes they're just plain mean, as these people were in the previous section, verses 1 to 6. So, we are to, at all times, be long-suffering with those people. But then we come into difficult problems too. Problems from people, as we said, but also from circumstances. Sometimes circumstances beyond our control. You ever get into a place where you say, I don't know which way to go? You know, everything's down on me. Natural disasters, personal stupidity. That's the worst one, you know. I get into this trouble and I say, who can I blame? Look around and nobody's there. I have to blame myself. And I have to watch myself. And you do too. When something happens and you did it, you want somebody to blame. You want to get some of that off your shoulders. And I try to be very careful. In fact, when something happens, I'll say to Melanie, if she's there, Melanie, it's not your fault. You didn't do it. I did it. And once I get that out, then I'm pretty well squared away. But I've tried to do that as a thing a means of not blaming somebody else. But there are things, you know, personal stupidity. James Church was in a dead-end situation. You know, what can you do? The boss keeps your money. He won't let you have it, or he won't pay you until later. Won't pay you as much as he's supposed to. That's what chapters, verses 1 to 6 was all about. So they were at a dead end. And someone has said, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. I think that's what he's saying. Tie a knot and hang on here. Be long-suffering. Well, how long are you going to have to do this? What's the duration of this long-suffering? Well, he says, until the coming of the Lord. Oh, me. Until the Lord comes? You know, I think for most of us, the coming of the Lord is way down the road. Huh? It was for these people. They didn't know it, but it was a long way down the road. 2,000 years now, almost, since James wrote this to these people, until the coming of the Lord. Does it help? Does it, when you get into real trouble, the Lord's going to come. Does that help? It should. Yeah. I was standing my first semester in college, 100 years ago, and I was standing looking at the exam schedule on the bulletin board. And one of the professors came up behind me and said, "Cheer up, you saints of God. There's nothing to worry about." Well, the Lord may come. And that was one of our favorite prayers before exams. The Lord may come before exam time. Well, he didn't do it, and we went through it. Long-suffering till the coming of the Lord. It should be a help to us. When he does come, he is going to come. And when he does, the enemies will be judged, and you will be vindicated. See? But I want something now. Patience. The Lord is going to come. Now, those are the areas, the duration. Now the example of long-suffering is the farmer, he says. The farmer plants. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until he receives the early rains and the latter rains. All he's saying is the farmer plants, and I've been that, and you have too, probably. My father would plant, and no irrigation in James' day, and no irrigation in my day. Wasn't a whole lot different back in those days. No irrigation. You depend on the Lord. And a lot of farmers were praying farmers. They waited on the Lord. So they planted, and the early rains, this was in the fall, they would plant, and the rain came, and the seed got watered, and it was really nice. But they waited. They waited all through the winter. And then they waited for the latter rains. Well, waiting. You know? When I was a kid, I heard some, apparently, that they told me, I don't remember it. I was 2-3 years old. And the old folks were talking about planting onion bulbs. And they said you plant onion bulbs real early in the spring. And they said you don't plant them on light nights when there's a moon. If you plant them when there's a moon, they'll come up out of the ground. You plant them on dark nights and they won't come out of the ground. That was an old wives, I don't know whether it worked or not. But they planted some and they said, oh, it's light nights. They'll come up out of the ground. And the next morning they went out there and looked, and sure enough, they were out of the ground. And there were two sets of footprints down the road who had gone through there and dug those things out because they said, they're going to come out of the ground, and we made sure they did. I don't remember a thing about it, but they told it on me, so I guess it's true. We didn't have the patience. Children don't have the patience. You know? Do you ever plant something and you say, I wonder what it's doing down there? I planted it 2 days ago. And there's no fruit there yet. I don't see any tomatoes. I don't see any cucumbers. You know, I planted it. And you dig down and say, oh, it's still there. Cover it back up. That's what kids do. No, the farmers didn't do that. They waited and waited and waited until the latter rains came, developed the grain, and then came the harvest. He's patient. In God's time, he brought the harvest. Well, how long shall we wait? Well, we wait as long as the Lord does. See? 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, same word, toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So wait on the Lord. Be patient. So that's the admonition. Now the addition. He gives something else in verse 8. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. So there's another reminder then. You also be long-suffering, just like the farmer. See, we're going to uncharted territory here, I believe, in this patience business. You know, we're not, that's not a part of our nature. That is not of our old nature, at least. You know, I don't want to be patient. I want it right now. Well, that's uncharted territory to wait, to be long-suffering. And we need a guide. We need an example. And the farmer is that. See? So waiting is a part of what God does with us. You know? He told the disciples, right after his crucifixion, resurrection, they were out on the Mount of Olives. And the disciples said, are you going to set up the kingdom? They had waited for years, for 2,000 years, waiting for the coming of the Messiah. And now Messiah died. Well, where's the kingdom? So Jesus arose from the dead, met them out there, and they said, oh, are you going to set up the kingdom? Well, let's go set up the kingdom. See, that's the way we are. Set up the kingdom. And Jesus said to them, no. You go into Jerusalem and do what? Wait. Go and wait. Go and be patient, be long-suffering. Well, we wait. And now he adds something here. Not only wait, not only be patient, but establish your hearts. Establish your inner being. You know? Your thinking, your feeling, your volition, your emotions. Everything you do, everything you think, establish it on the coming of the Lord. Say, what if it were today? I understand that John Wesley, every morning, would go out and open the window and say, Lord, is it today? Well, that's great. You know? What if it were today? Well, he had something, you know, the thinking, feeling. You know, be patient, establish your heart. Look at the end of verse 8. For the coming of the Lord is at hand. Wow. At hand? Right now? You know what? James was pre-trib. Pre-trib and pre-mill. Huh. Yeah. Yeah, that's what he says. Because the coming of the Lord is at hand. He's going to say in verse 9, the judge is standing at the door. He was pre-trib. Now, how do I know that? Well, if the Lord could come right now, you have to be pre-trib. If you're saying, well, I'm post-trib, the Lord's going to come after the tribulation, then we have to wait for the tribulation. We're not in the tribulation, obviously. Read the book of Revelation, you see that. So if the Lord is not going to come until after the tribulation, then he can't come right now. See? The only way you can have imminency, the only way you can say the Lord could come right now is if you are pre-trib. And you can't be pre-trib without being pre-mill. So James is a pre-trib, pre-mill. See? And there are a lot of people who don't know that. A lot of people who won't accept that. Most churches, maybe not most, many churches are not holding to any kind of doctrine. No position on this. No position on the Lord's return. Oh, he's going to come. I was meeting with the preachers out at the headquarters not long ago. Twice now I've met with them. Haven't heard one of them talk about anything spiritual. You know what they're talking about? I got to build my church. Got to get zoning. Got to do this. Where in the world is the fellowship among pastors talking about the Word? Didn't find it. But what they're doing is they're more and more, I think, they're affirming less and less. No doctrines. I heard one person say somewhere that I'm a pan mill. I think it's going to pan out all right. Showing his ignorance. that's no way to talk. If I'm standing here in this pulpit and telling you I don't know anything about the future, that is at least 1/4 of the Bible. And if I don't know about 1/4 of the Bible, I'd better get out of the pulpit, go out and learn something about that 1/4 of the Bible, and then come back and teach it. Yeah, it ought to be done that way. But no, there are more people standing up there because they have the gift of gab than they are because they know the Word. Well, they don't want to offend. So if the Lord could come right now, you're pre-trib. And you're pre-trib. I just told you so. The Lord could come right now. All right, now, that's the admonition, the addition. Now the limitation to long-suffering. While you're suffering long, he's saying, don't grumble. What does grumble mean? Well, complain, or to moan inside. You groan outside and you moan inside. Now, that's grumbling. Grumbling, don't do that against one another. You know, we don't want to grumble against each other. We love each other. We don't want that grumbling and hostile speech, inconsiderate of somebody else's feelings. None of that. Stephen said this. Israel groaned in Acts 7:34. He was quoting Exodus. He says, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to deliver them. Wait a minute. God heard their groaning. Groaning must be okay. No, no. If you want to groan, groan to the Lord. God had heard their groaning, and he came down to deliver them. So if you want to groan, groan to the Lord. Don't groan to each other or about each other. Now, the reason for this is, lest you be condemned. Well, what does that mean? Well, if you're going to be condemned, the judge is outside the door. It's the judge who's going to condemn. It's the judge who's going to judge people. He has taken his stand. It's like in a movie. You know, they tell you, well, here's your place. You go over here and you stand on that mark. You don't see the marks when you're sitting down there, but there's the mark. I used to watch Johnny Carson, and Johnny had a big star. He stood on the star. Then the cameras were in the right angle and everything. Just go out and stand on the star, and there he was. Well, the judge has taken his place. The door is there, not open yet, and he has he has taken his stand. He's come to his place. He's come to the mark. He's waiting. The judge is at the door, and he's going to step right through it in just a minute. But that's the implication we have. So the judge is at the door. He's going to be there to judge. Now, who is this judge? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in John 5:22, the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. So soon and very soon, he's going to come. I didn't know we were going to sing that when I wrote that, but I thought, oh, I bet Bruce is going to sing that one. And sure enough, we did. He's going to come very soon. Now, that's a threat to these people, these people who are persecuting you, but it's also a threat, I think, to those who will be impatient. If we're not going to be long-suffering, then when the judge comes, he's going to judge us for that. Now, secondly, we come to the examples of long-suffering. The prophets, they were persecuted in their lifetime, he says, even though they spoke for God, of all things. You know, Jesus said, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And Stephen, standing before the leaders, the Jewish leaders, said, which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And Jeremiah was beaten, put in stocks, Jeremiah 21:20, verse 1. He was placed in prison, 32:2. He was thrown into a muddy cistern, probably up to his knees in mud. But he didn't abandon his faith. He proclaimed God's message. Now, if you want to know more about the prophets, go to chapter 11, the hall of faith of the prophets. You'll find it there in Hebrews chapter 11, all the things they did. They were sawn asunder. They were all kinds of things. Then he gives another example, and that is Job in verse 11. Indeed, we count blessed those who endure, you have heard the perseverance of Job. Well, see, a different word, perseverance, patience. This is a different word. He said, we count them blessed who have endured. Jesus said, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, say all manner of evil against you, falsely for my name's sake. See, but there's a change of word, and that word is to remain under. Now, why would he change the word? He's been talking about endurance, being patient, and endurance, all through here. But now he says patience. Why the change? I think because Job did not wait all that patiently. See? He was not long-suffering. He was patient, but not long-suffering. In our Old Testament survey course, we have a question. What were Job's three complaints? And the three complaints were this. Why was I born? Why did I not die at birth? Why can't I die now? Well, we meet him in Job chapter 1. He had seven sons and three daughters, and his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household. Now, one day, the sons of God, the angels, came up before God, and Satan was with them. Remember, Satan is a son of God, a fallen son of God, but he came with them. And God said to Satan, have you noticed Job? Notice my servant Job. Have you considered him? There's none like him on the earth. He's blameless and upright. He's one who fears God and shuns evil. And Satan says, I'd serve you too with all that. Words to that effect. And he says, if I can touch him, I'll make him curse you to your face. So Job lost everything he had to his enemies. Fire from heaven, a windstorm came down, and Job had nothing. Even his children were killed. So Job got mad. No. Job fell down and worshiped the Lord. And he said, naked came I into the world, and naked I'll go out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then Satan said, yeah, well, but if you touch his body. And so God allowed Satan to touch his body. He got sores all over him from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. You ever hear that expression? There's where it came from. And there he was, sitting on an ash heap. And he took a piece of broken flower pot and scratched the sores. Do you ever feel like you'd like to do that to some of your scratching? You know, oh, it itches so bad. And then it feels so good. And then all of a sudden, oh, it hurts. Well, that's what happens. And that's what he was doing, sitting there. And his wife said to him, curse God and die. And he said, shall we accept the good from God and not the adversity? Now, in the end, after all this is over, and of course Job knew nothing about this contest between God and Satan, he wound up with twice as much as he had. Read it in Job 42 sometime. He had twice as many sheep, camels, yoke of oxen, and female donkeys, and he wound up with seven sons and two daughters. Three daughters. Seven sons and three daughters, the same as he had before. You say, well, wait a minute. Thought he had double everything. Well, he did. That tells you something, the difference between animals and people. His seven sons and three daughters were killed, but they're not gone. They're in heaven. He still has them. And now he has seven more sons and three daughters. So all of that is to say that Job was a man of patience. Even though he groaned, he was a man of patience. Now, the essence of long-suffering, the examples of long-suffering, now the evidence of long-suffering. Don't swear. Now, the awfulness of swearing is this. This whole thing doesn't seem to fit. In fact, I didn't intend to use it, but it does seem to fit now. The reason I say that is this. Above all, he says, don't swear. I think in times of testing, it's tempting to blame someone, blame even God, you know. And so you blame God, or you make an oath, I didn't do it, not me, I swear to God I didn't do it. And that's easy to get into. So I think that's what he means by this. He says, first of all, above all, I think above all in context, not above all other things like murder and whatever. They're certainly worse than swearing, but above all here, in this context, don't take an oath in your everyday conversation. I don't think he's saying don't do use curse words. Don't think that's it at all, though some take it that way. Don't use an oath in your everyday conversation. Remember Peter? Peter, when they came to get Jesus, Peter took a sword and cut the ear off one of the soldiers. And I think he was aiming for the middle of his head, but he got an ear. Yeah. Well, that's pretty bold, pretty brave. But then he sat around a campfire, and a little girl says, "You are one of them." And he said, "Oh, no, not me." And then took an oath, "So help me God, I wasn't one of them." Well, so it's very serious. It's an awful thing to swear. Use God's name that way. It's the third commandment, remember. No other gods, no graven images, and don't take the name of the Lord in vain. So our attitude in swearing then is denying guilt. I swear I didn't do it, like Peter. See, their implied well-being. If I swear I didn't do it, then I get out of the punishment or whatever it is. And so I swear. And that well-being is more important to them than the sacred name of God. See, the Jews used it in a way of lying. They say, I swear I will do this. And I swear by the temple. And then later on, no, I don't have to do that. I didn't swear by God. I swear by the temple. Or they'd say, I swear by the gold that's on the temple. And they say, oh, well, that must be good. He's swearing by the temple. No, I didn't swear by the temple. I swore by the gold that was on the temple. And they use all kinds of things. And so Jesus said, don't swear at all. And most agree that this doesn't mean in court, though some people take it that way. And in court, you know, you don't have to swear in court. You don't have to raise your hand and say, I swear to God. You don't have to do that. You can just say, I affirm. And affirm is fine in any court. But the attitude in swearing is trying to get out of something yourself. But the alternative to swearing, he says, is let your yes be yes and your no be no. Tell the truth. Tell the truth all the time. Otherwise, he says, you will fall into judgment. I found an alternate reading here, and I think it's a better reading. Lest you fall into hypocrisy. It's a majority reading. Unless you fall into hypocrisy. I think that's what he's saying. Don't swear to God because you're being a hypocrite when you try to do that. Now, brothers and sisters, love one another. Be long-suffering because love suffers long. Are you sharing in patience? Well, if it's still a problem, next week we're going to talk about sharing in prayer, and that may solve the whole thing.